One mic. Yeah. Oh, na, na, na. Oh, na, na, na. Da, da, da. Yeah. Oh, na, na, na. Oh, na, na, na. Da, da, da. Yo, what's up? This is Dwight. You tune in to another episode of One Mic. And I can be reached at the number one, micdwight at gmail.com. That's One Mic Dwight at gmail.com. Today we're going to get into a subject that I really love, that I know I seem like I know a lot about. And basically, it's just about me. You know, it's about self-care. It's about just the things that I do, how I see things. And, you know, it's a lot of times where it explains just on how I keep a balance in my life. And hopefully, you know, it'll be something that interests you or that you can find a way to relate to or anything like that. I called into work today, for example, because, you know, I just wasn't feeling balanced. And it's not like I call in and, you know, I just watch Netflix all day or anything. I have to do something progressive, productive. I have to do something that's going to feed, you know, because basically that's part of my financial side. So I need something that's going to feed my spiritual, my physical, and my mental side in order to compensate for the lack of finances that I'll be missing due to calling into work. It's what keeps me balanced. And it's balance is what I'm talking about as far as self-care goes. So I like to think of it kind of like a table. And so you have four legs on a table. And so the four legs for my table is financial leg, a spiritual leg, a physical leg, and a mental leg. And the tabletop that I set everything on, where I set the plates, where I set the food, where I set the candles, where I set table setting, the table, the flat top table itself is my emotions. And so basically, if my legs are wobbly, then everything's going to slide off, right? So basically, that means that I'm going to freak out and just dump everything that's on the table off. And I've done that several times in life. And so to even get into this, you know, why the four legs? Why are they financial, physical, mental, and spiritual? Well, you know, there are tables that have one leg. And me personally, I have made financial my leg to stand on. That's how I started learning about all this stuff. And it was easily to top over because I didn't have anything else to stand on. And I've had, you know, physical, you know, just other things that I've learned. And so in order for me to feel like I've been balanced, I've had to have these four legs to stand on. If you listen towards the end, I'll talk about another leg that hopefully will inspire you. So just listen throughout the whole thing. No, I'm not talking about the third leg. So anyways, these four legs are the physical, the financial, the spiritual, the mental. And so as far as the financial leg goes, you know, the strengthening of all these legs, it's not to sit here and say that I have a wealth of money, right? It's basically what I know about money, what if it's growing, if my knowledge is growing about money, if my finances are growing, and if I'm doing it in an ethical way. So basically for my finances, I have my other legs to measure the progress of that. So, and how I know is my emotions are balanced. So whenever, for example, you know, when my finances were low when I was younger, the first thing I would do is go get a second job or work overtime because I'd be like, oh, my finances, you know? And so then to me, what's that equivalent to is if you have a wobbly table and you put coasters underneath it. So that's to get a second job. You know, you put coasters underneath it to balance it. That doesn't fix the table. It never did fix my table. I would work overtime and I would get a second job. I remember one time when I lived in Houston And I worked 7 months straight, 7 days a week. And what that did was, once again, going back to the table reference, is it strengthened the table to the point where it leaned so hard that everything else slid off. My physical was weak, my spiritual was weak, and my mental was weak. You know, whenever I was working and everything, and so you know, it wasn't that my financials ever got fixed, because you know, like I said, it was just money. You know, and so then I would use that money that I make to, well, my spiritual was weak, so I would go get drunk or I'd go get high, and then, you know, I would, you know, everything else would wreck. So it didn't work out just to, if I have a financial problem, to go get a second job. And there was a time when, you know, I was going to school. You know, I was going to school and I was working and I was doing all this and that, and I was all into my mental, and basically my ego was out of control, so couldn't tell nobody tell me anything. You know, you couldn't tell me that my shit stink, you know, and I was just such a big head, and basically I would argue people to death. It was like whoever had the last word won, and you know, I always wanted to be right. And so therefore nobody wanted to be around me. I felt like nobody wanted to argue with me because they knew what they were getting, which was true, but it wasn't what I thought, you know? So it was a horrible thing as far as like dealing with people on a spiritual level. It didn't help my finances and it didn't help my physical. So, you know, that's what happens. You know, you put a coaster underneath these things that are weak, and you go and you deal. I deal with them directly, and so therefore my table still, you know, it still ends up wobbling because those coasters aren't enough. And as far as my physical goes, I mean, you guys already know my sexual addiction and everything like that. So basically, my spiritual was down. It was actually hurting my finances indirectly, and mentally, I was a zombie. I was a shell of myself. And so that's how I know that these four things all have to be intact for my emotional balance to stay stable so I can load things onto my table. That's where that came up for me. So getting into this, the first leg, well, basically, we're just going to pick one. So we'll just go with financial. I have a lot of financial ties to my emotion. I feel like as a man, you know, whether my lady makes more money than me or not, for me to be financially secure, financially responsible, for me to be smart with money, is tied to my emotions. Whenever I'm broke, I feel down, you know? And it's not my communicator to my emotions, but it has a very strong tie. Matter of fact, that's probably why I picked finances to discuss first. Like I said, you know, using the reference to whenever my finances were down, the first thing I would do is go get some coasters and stick it underneath there, whether it be through a second job or working overtime or whatever. But this is the thing, and this is how it works for me as far as the self-care goes. When my finances are down, I have three other legs to lean on in order to take care of my finances. So let's say, for example, if I want to save on gas, save gas money, well, then I'll use my physical and ride my bike to work. Another thing I'll do is I'll educate myself. It's about financial literacy. It's about speaking the language of money. Just like when you go to the gym and you talk about your traps and your biceps and your quads and all this other stuff, people know, and you tend to attract people that can actually help you physically. So when I educated myself and I was speaking, you know, in terms of finances, financial literacy, and I was getting involved with investing and things like that, I was attracting people that could actually help me as far as my finances go and what to do with my money. And so, you know, the whole concept of paying myself first, you know, is what started to develop as far as building that leg to be strong. And dispelling the myth of paying myself, because we're talking about self-care here. We're not talking about self-medication or self-indulgence. So when it comes to self-care, the closest ingredient to that for me is self-discipline. So to be disciplined with my finances meant for me to take my money from my job, no matter how much I made, put some aside, and to pay myself meant for me to buy assets that would either give me dividends, interest, or if I'm buying property, rent. You know, it also meant keeping an idea of what my financial score is, my credit score. Therefore, I get lower interest rates. And it also means, you know, not just if I can solve my problems without throwing money at it, then that's just an added weight to me keeping my money and to understand how to not only that, but to develop skills. So then that's when my mental came into play. As far as the spiritual goes, you know, honestly, no matter how much money I have, if I give it to tithe, I get it back. If I give 10%, I get 10 times that much back. One way or the other, it always happens. Even when I'm broke, I will go to church. I will go to AA meetings. It's basically an investment. It's a spiritual investment is what it is. And that money comes back. So that's how I get my financial leg strong, using my other legs in order to deal with that. I don't put a coaster underneath there anymore in order to maintain the stability. I actually fix that leg using the other legs. So it's just kind of like I said, I use my mentality to think of ways logically. I learn about financial literacy. And then physically, I'm out. I may get a second job, but it's a second job for a purpose. And the benefits of that second job will actually take care of. It's just kind of like if I get a second job, it's going to be like, say, for example, at Jiffy Lube, so I can get free oil changes. You know, it's going to be at Starbucks, so I don't have to spend money on coffee. It's not just going to be a financial gain. It's going to be other benefits to that job. It's not just going to serve, you know, just as a financial purpose, because it's not going to get me out of the financial situation that I have. A second job and overtime is not going to do that for me. So, you know, I use my other legs in order to keep that balance. Oh, man, coffee's good. So anyways, you know, it just comes to, you know, like I said, learning about paying myself first. And by paying myself, I don't mean buying shoes, buying, you know, getting my hair cut, buying jewelry, going out to eat. Those are temporary fixes for my emotions, but that's like putting glue on top of my table. You know what I mean? In order to feel better emotionally. That's not stable enough to deal with the weight that I'm going to be putting on my table later. And so if I'm using those habits to take care of my financial situation, it's just going to actually dig a hole a lot more in my life. And so whenever the table comes down, that glue and nails or whatever is not strong enough to hold the weight that I plan on adding later on in my life. So that's why I got to get out of those habits now of when I get paid to quote unquote treat myself, you know, into those self-indulgence. So next up, the next leg, let's say it's the physical leg. The physical leg is weak. So basically, let's rotate around to the other legs, you know, because if my physical, say my physical is weak. And what I used to do as a kid is, you know, drinking too much beer, whatever, stop drinking beer, start doing some sit-ups. You know, my spirit's weak, so I become very vain, egocentric. You know, I feel ugly, so I go and I have a lot of sex. All this stuff is just coasters underneath that leg. It's glue on there. You know, it's nails being put in. It's not fixing anything. So what I do now is when my physical was down, Because it's not now, believe me. Oh my goodness, I'm in my prime. So, what I used to do, what I started to do is I would mentally or educate myself once again. I would learn about what to eat, when to eat. I would learn different exercises. From a financial leg, I would buy, it's not to me, it's not expensive food. Processed food that comes in a box or a bag is way more expensive than buying fruit and vegetables and stuff that you can cut up and actually cook yourself. I'm not getting into an argument about time constraints or anything like that, not yet, for the simple fact that the time that you actually spend learning to cook will fit. Because look, we all have 24 hours in a day. We all do. That's the standard. I don't have any more time than you do. However, my lifestyle has made a priority to cook my own food. And, like I said, I educated myself financially. I did a budget. So what I do now is I do HelloFresh. It's already portioned. I don't have that much waste. I still got to go to the grocery store, but not as often and not for as long. So that actually cuts my time down. And, a lot of people who do meal prep, that's cool and everything, but like I said, I like HelloFresh and I'll probably stick with them. If not, I'll go to a new one and get all that stuff figured out. But that's what works for me as a single guy. Like I said, this is not advice. This is just basically how I build my table. You know what I mean? And keep a balance. So take what you want from it and then just use what you can accordingly. But like I said, for me, buying processed food, buying something that has a drive-through. Even when I go out to eat, sometimes there's just too much salt and shit like that. So, and it's too expensive. It's way more expensive to go out to eat for my budget. I'm gonna be fucking this coffee up all night, so y'all just bear with me. So once again, that's what works for me as far as keeping my table balance. The skills that I learned from being 20 years into the restaurant business, I cook all the time. I enjoy cooking. I actually like cooking now more than I did for a source of income. And then on top of that, I do have a side hustle that actually brings me more income. So once again, I'm using these other legs in order to fulfill my physical side of the table. And also, as far as the spiritual side of it goes, I cook at the Harmony House every Monday, and so there gives me fulfillment in my spirituality. And of course, all these jobs are physically demanding. I'm on my feet for so long. Plus, I do salsa dancing, and that helps me with my social interaction. I'm learning a new skill, so it's helping me mentally. I work out only 3 days a week in strength training. So and so that helps my mental. It calms me down. It's a great stress reliever. And like I said, I have a personal trainer. His name's Ernest, Fit for Life Boot Camp. Check it out online, Fit for Life Boot Camp, Springfield, Missouri. Ernest Scott. His name is Ernest Scott. So check him out. And like I said, that's what helps my other legs to keep my balance. How do I know it works? I'm emotionally stable. I'm emotionally present. So that's the physical aspect as far as keeping my blood pressure low, eating the right foods, working out, help preventive maintenance in my physical, because health is wealth also. So I'm not spending time at the doctor. Spending time at the doctor, I'm not wasting time missing work for physical reasons and everything like that. And if I can work overtime, then I'm physically able to do it, and so on. It just keeps feeding itself. So that's what helps me, maintain. Whereas when I used to think that I had a physical problem, what I would do is I would actually make it worse by eating shitty food that would actually make me feel better temporarily. That would be the glue. Or I would get drunk or get high. That would mess up my mental and my spiritual, but that would be the glue for my emotions. in order to what I would thought, you know, maintain. So once again, we're not talking about self-medication and self-indulgence, because that's what I used to do, thinking that it was self-care. And a lot of the times I wound up literally running myself into the ground, you know, crashing and burning, end up in the hospital. Once again, wiping everything off my table. I think the worst physical coaster or glue or whatever that I did to mess up my table would be the random sex, random casual sex, and porn. That literally was the termites in my table, because it ate away at my physical, my spiritual, my financial, and my mental. And that's when the whole celibacy thing had to take place, and I had to basically take what I could from that table and rebuild everything as far as like what I wanted in order to be able to be a progressive, prominent member of society. So, like I said, but it felt good. It felt good at the time. It felt good physically. It cleared my mind, and I didn't come out of pocket directly. You know, it didn't hurt my finances directly. I wasn't paying for sex. So a lot of that shit, you know, like I said, I had to be self-aware about. That's, I think that's the key as far as like building your table goes, is basically your self-awareness and your inventory of how you're going to grow as a person and what you want out of life. So like I said, you know, I don't know what legs on a table works for a lot of other people, but for me, it's the financial, the physical, mental, and spiritual. So going to the next one would be the mental leg, which was very tricky for me, because at that time, I didn't realize how much of an asshole my brain was and still is. I didn't realize that. Like, knowing the shit that I know that I have to do, and I still don't do it. You know, I would find excuses that would be external, and, you know, society and my parents and, you know, this bitch is doing this. And then, of course, there would be the procrastination of doing things later, the analysis paralysis of just over explaining and looking into things to where I don't even do it. The busy work of stuff, you know, hey, I'm doing something. But it was nothing that was relevant to completing tasks. A lot of times I would always start new shit, telling people I'm working on this, and, you know, then jumping ahead to the results, you know, hey, I'm starting this, and before you know it, I'm going to be a millionaire. And yeah, you are. And basically I would just rest on my laurels. And so my brain wouldn't, you know, be like, why do all the processing and the hard work when you already got the accolades and people's approval? So, yeah, my brain was just such an asshole, you know, thinking that I was getting educated by watching documentaries, on watching the news, and, you know, making informed decisions based on that. You know, it's like, what the fuck does what whales, you know, travel to, you know, from, I don't know, the Atlantic Ocean to Africa have to do with, you know, me actually starting a business, you know? So, you know, a lot of that stuff that my brain used to think, being on social media for hours, you know, especially before bed, arguing with people and getting the last word in, and just running people down to death as far as like, you know, just a debate goes, and not changing anybody's mind. We would just get tired of arguing. Usually they would get tired before I did. And I would like post shit, and then I would wake up the next day to see how many likes I got or how many people agreed with what I said. And then the likes weren't good enough, but who liked them? You know what I mean? It's like, if you didn't push a like, then I'm not talking to you. Just all this other stuff that was just so empty telling people my dreams and ideas and never fulfilling them. You know, I did that a lot, you know, one day I'm going to, you know, one day it's going to be this and, oh man, one day, you know, blah, blah, blah. Never starting with day one, you know, never putting action behind what I was saying, just talk. You know, it was quite annoying, I'm sure. I'm sorry to a lot of people out there that I used to share that with, especially my sister. So how do you strengthen your mental leg? You know, how did I do that? Make my brain. My brain is a wonderful slave, but a terrible master. My brain can give me everything that I desire. My brain can literally give me everything that I desire or destroy everything I love. It doesn't know the difference. It doesn't know the difference. So, first part, the hardest part, is to be self-aware. Look at your table. Do you have everything on it that you need? Do you have a plate? Do you have a glass? Do you have forks and silverware to feed yourself? And if you don't, why not? If your excuse is something about your parents, if your excuse is about, you know, being with a narcissistic lover, if your excuse is about, you know, the trauma that you went through with your childhood, then those things are your solution. Your narcissistic boyfriend has the answer. Your parents have the answer. Your childhood, there is your answer. You have to go there in order to find the answer. I didn't want to. So I realized that I was the problem. So therefore, I'm the solution. Admitting that I was the problem gave me the power to turn it around. So whatever your problem is for what you don't have on your table is the solution. And if you cannot go back to your childhood to get the solution, then your table will never be fulfilled. If it's your parents' fault and your parents don't give you the solution, your table will never be fulfilled. I tried all of that. I tried blaming everything externally, and yet my table was never getting fulfilled. It was still broken until I looked at myself and said, Dwight, you're the one that got you in here. You're the one that gets you out. That does not mean that I have to do it alone and by myself. What that means is that I have to be the one to show up. So if I reach for you for help and you tell me where to be, I have to be there. If I reach for you to help for help and you tell me what to do, I have to do it. If I reach to anybody for help, they are helping me. They're not doing it for me. So that is the mentality that I had to have in order to turn things around, in order to strengthen the leg on my table. A lot of things, you know, I'm a logical person. So I had to be shown how the spiritual side works. And basically what that is that whatever I couldn't see, I had to believe in it, even though I physically couldn't see it. So in other words, if I wanted to have a bright future, I had to believe that I had a bright future. And the only way I could do that is to have it now. So what I did was, I prepared myself as if the bright future was now and acted accordingly. That I wasn't in jail, that I wasn't in the hospital, that I wasn't an addict, that I wasn't, or that I was an addict, but I was in recovery. All this stuff is, how does a person in recovery act? You know, what do? They show up to meetings, they do this, they do that. What does a millionaire do? You know, he talks finances. What does an athlete do? You know, they eat right, they don't do drugs. What does, so everything that I wanted to be, that I physically could not see, that I physically cannot go into the future and do, I had to do right now. And that took a lot of mentality to do. It takes a lot of mentality. And I have to watch how I talk to myself. I have to watch what I'm saying to myself. And I also had to be aware of what was being said around me. Not about me, because I can't control that. But what I can control is the people who talk negative, who come to me with problems and not solutions. I call them Paul Revere. They come through ringing their fucking bell, riding their horse, talking about the British is coming. You know, the people are starving, that, you know, gays are being prosecuted, that Jews are being treated this way, that, you know, life's not fair, and, you know, immigration's happening. And do they have a solution? Then no, I'm not talking to them. I'm talking to creators. I'm talking to innovators. I'm talking to solution-oriented mentality people. And sometimes that means that I don't talk to family, that I don't talk to friends. And it's not that I have a problem with them. It's just that my table that I'm trying to hold stable, I don't want their glassware. I don't want their chipped plates. I don't want their missing forks and all the other problems that they have on my table. I'm not balanced for that. I don't know who is balanced for it, but, you know, good for them. But I don't take on my friends' glassware and dirty plates. Not on my table. So that is letting some people go. As far as the mental go, I started to busy myself with things that were progressive, that had results, you know, where I was progressing. You know, learning, I was busy learning about physical. I was learning about finances. You know, I was using my mental to learn more. The more I learned about myself, the more I learned about the God of my understanding. So my mental was just busy. And then, of course, you know, working out and everything, I was exhausted. So I would actually be able to go to sleep well. And a lot of things that actually gave me strength as far as my mental goes, is that I don't use my mind for a emotional lockbox. I don't use it for remembering. I use it for learning new skills. So I don't hold on to a lot of negative. I don't hold on to a lot of trauma. I don't hold on to the things that I can't control in my life as far as the mentality goes. And the reason why is that helps a lot is through meditation and journaling. You know, meditation and journaling, it strengthens my mental leg. Part of journaling for me has been doing an inventory of the role that I played in my own outcome. That's how I found out that I was the problem and I could be the solution. Because the things that I would write down when I would see it on paper, it allowed me to not be around people who actually fed into that negative stuff that, oh yeah, you're right, Dwight, and blah, blah, blah. I could write it down and be like, you know what? I can't believe I said that to that person. I sound like an idiot. Because when you read it, it gives you a step back into what you were doing, so you're not caught up in that moment. And then journaling also showed me how far I've progressed. You know, when I sit here and I look at the things that I was, you know, thinking about last year and even 90 days ago, you know, it's changed so much. And so whenever I feel down and when I don't feel like I've progressed, then I'm like, man, that's what I was saying. Man, I thought it was the end of the world, you know, 2 months ago, and I still made it through. And not only that, but I'm actually thriving. I've come so far. And it's because I write those things down, and that helps out a lot. So that's why I journal. Meditation, basically what that does for me is it stops me from destroying everything that's on top of the table. You know, I've done that so many times as far as, like, you know, thinking that the legs are weak and everything's going to come crashing in. And so I just clear everything out, you know, not thinking that people, you know, who had given me plates and who had spent time with me and put food on my table, you know, and what they've done, I just clear it out. And, you know, meditation, it keeps me from feeling overwhelmed, and it makes me present. And, you know, so meditating every day, sometimes twice a day, especially before I go to work, helps me get through so much, and it makes me stay present and realize how fortunate I am. Also, I cleared out a lot of apps. The only social media that I'm on now is YouTube, and that's just to learn shit. I got Duolingo, where I do Spanish, and I got this app called Elevate that I check out too. So if it's feeding me, oh yeah, and then I got Yahoo Finance. So, you know, if it's feeding my finances, if it's feeding my mental, if it's feeding my spiritual, you know, then yeah, I'm all for it. You know what I mean? I had a physical something for a jawline. I had an app for that too. So, you know, those are the only apps I have. I don't have any apps, or I don't even click on them. I might have them, I don't know. But I don't have any apps that distract me from building my table. And so, you know, if it's not financial, if it's not physical, if it's not mental, or if it's not spiritual, I don't have it. I just don't waste my time on entertainment. You know, I mean, I'm too busy building. So, you know, I don't watch the news. I am the news. You know, also what feeds me is not just journaling, but writing. For me, when I write, it's the first thing that I do when I manifest something. It's like a thought in my head that goes down on a piece of paper, right? And so that's where it goes from mental to physical. Now, say, for example, I'm writing out a recipe. I'm thinking of a recipe in my mind. I'm putting it down on paper. I can't eat. Yeah, well, yeah, I can eat the paper, but it's like it's not the nourishment, right? And so it's like I write the recipe down on paper, and then I take that piece of paper, go get the groceries, and I actually make something happen. That is manifestation to me. So whenever I think stuff, whether I think I'm a protector, I'm a provider, I'm a millionaire, I think this stuff, I write it down. And then I start to prepare my quote unquote grocery list, whether it's educating myself, investing my money, or doing things in order to become that reality. It's not like manifestation to me is a wish that says, I'm a millionaire, I'm a millionaire, I'm a millionaire. And I just sit here in my chair and then I open my eyes and I'm like, oh, I'm not a millionaire. It's not a genie to manifest something. You know, and then that's when the spirituality comes in too, because you got to have faith. And so for me, a lot of times I'm like, I come up with the idea and I let God work out the details, or God will inspire me. And then I put in the work to work out the details. I fall in love with the process of doing things. And that to me is the reward. The byproduct of a lot of the stuff that I receive is because of the love of the process that I have doing it. So if I love working out, I'm not doing it for a fit body. I'm doing it for a mental thing. I'm doing it for a spiritual thing. I'm doing it for, you know, to so I don't have to, you know, health is wealth. So I don't spend time at the hospital. Just because I look like a Greek god, you know, that's just a side product of that. So I enjoy, you know, like I said, writing things down, because that is the first step in manifesting things. It's the first step. It's not the only step, but it is definitely the first step. So when it comes to reading, of course, I'm reading a lot of self-help books. And what I do is I read a chapter and then I apply it just to see if it works for me or not, or how it works for me. And just because it doesn't work, that doesn't mean that it doesn't, you know, just because I don't get the outcome doesn't mean it doesn't work. I try different ways and I try to do it to what applies to my situation. And the whole thing that I love is the process of trying to figure it out. So that way I can get the results. So that's why I don't read fantasies. You know, I don't read, you know, romance novels or things like that, because, you know, and that's why I'm not getting hooked into all these, you know, different types of documentaries and shit, because it's like, how can I apply that to make my life better? One thing I do read, though, are autobiographies. And that's what I really love, because I feel like that, to me, is it trains my brain to be empathetic, because I am focused on somebody else's story, and I'm listening to, you know, I'm reading their words, and I'm putting myself in their shoes as closely as possible when I read an autobiography. And then I'm taking a lot of the stuff that they said and I'm applying it to my life, especially if it's something that someone that I admire. So a lot of times I know when I'm talking to people and they tell me, you know, that doesn't work, or, you know, they have, I'm like, oh man, that's what they told Michelle Obama. Oh man, that's what they told, you know, Nelson Mandela. Oh, that's what they said. So, you know, it's just kind of like, you know, a lot of the stuff, you know, like I said, it gives me, it trains my brain to learn to empathize with people. And so when I'm listening to people, you know, it gives me that mentality to put myself in their shoes, and, you know, not to even try to solve their problems, because, like I said, man, I'm not, you know, nobody's asking me for a plate. I'm not giving them a plate. You know, no one's asking me for a glass, or if I see somebody eating with their hands, I'm assuming that they want to eat with their hands. I'm not going to say, hey, why don't you eat with a fork? Because they don't want a fork, you know? If they don't know how to ask for what they need, that's when they need to work on their legs of their table in order to know what they need help in. And so, once again, I'm willing to help somebody, but I'm not going to take off my table, because, once again, that's going to create an imbalance on my shit in order to think that they need a fork when they never did want one in the first place. So once again, there goes that empathy, you know, thinking, oh man, these people are, they don't even, he's not even, he's got little legs. He's close to the ground. Maybe he wants little legs on that table. Maybe he wants to be close to the ground. I don't know. So, you know, if somebody's, you know, like I said, I'm there to help people. Matter of fact, hopefully this podcast will help you, and you have this understanding on how to build your legs up and strengthen through the ways that I did. You know, going back to finances, you know, it's just kind of like I said, you know, the first initial reaction is to go get a second job. But I wouldn't do that. I don't do that now. I work on my other legs, and those three legs create the balance for that fourth leg. So that's what I do as far as, like I said, the mentality of reading. Reading to me is a spiritual thing. It's a financial thing. You know, it helps me physically. It slows me down. You know, as far as like reading goes, it's, you know, I have to sit there and be patient. So, the last leg is the spiritual leg. And it's what basically explains the unexplainable. You know, when I was talking about the other legs, I had mentioned the spiritual and how it helped in different ways, directly and indirectly. But for me, it really checks my ego. It keeps me from being greedy. It helps me focus on my purpose. And it's a really great, great communicator to my emotions and from my emotions with other people in their tables. So basically, it's not that I have to have a spiritual connection with people, but because of my spirituality, I can tolerate and talk to other people. And if we do have a spiritual connection, oh man, we're putting tables together. You know, it's a beautiful thing. So anyways, how I work on my spiritual strength of my legs for that table, you know, that's, you know, physically, you know, the social interaction, that I have from salsa dancing, showing up to Harmony House to help others, to give tithe and offering, to donate my time, you know, those are the physical, you know, those are the things that help my spiritually. Going to AA meetings, you know, to stay sober, to, you know, go to Al-Anon meetings. Al-Anon to me is a luxury. It's crazy how I feel like that spoils me, But to me, that is a luxury. That is something that I get to do, to be a mentor to people. This podcast is spiritual to me. I don't sit here and I don't get paid to do it. I'm not, you know, concerned about how many ears are listening and everything like that. If someone, one person comes up to me and they say, or emails me at onemikedwight@gmail.com. And they say, what you said right there really meant something. I felt like you were talking to me when you said what you just said. And I needed to hear that. Man, I'm paid. I am rich. I am wealthy. You know, that's why I do this. And also, I do it to keep me sober. I do it to, so I'm not sitting here, you know, it's something that I can do in order to be what I feel like is a productive member of society and how I spend my time doing something progressive. So this is the spiritual side of what I did. I go to church, you know, I go to church not that often, but, you know, when I do go, I go and I spend time with my mom and her husband. And when we're done, we talk about the sermon and we talk about life and everything. So that helps me mentally. And like I said, you know, just to have that bond with my mother in a certain way that I don't have with anybody else. So all of that stuff strengthens my spiritual in order for me to put on top. You know, my emotional balance is just so stable at this point that, you know, I'm so self-aware of what's going on with everything on my table. So, you know, I got the candles, I got the napkin holders, I got the coasters, I got the turkey, I got food, wonderful food. It's looking like Thanksgiving every day. You know what I mean? On my table. You know, I got the bottles of wine. I don't drink, but it's okay. It looks good and other people do. And, you know, it's okay. And, you know, just everything on my plate, on my table looks so great. So what's the next step? You know, my table's full. So what I feel like I need to do now is I need to spread open that table, put in an insert, and put in a fifth leg of a relationship. That's the next level for me as far as like to build onto my table is to have a lady in my life where, like I said, that flat top is my emotion, right? The tabletop is my emotion. So I'm going to open up my emotions and let her enter in order to put in that filler. And she needs to stand on that fifth leg with everything that she's putting in, that she's putting on that table. And I'm willing to do the same. She has to be willing to open up. Well, first of all, her table needs to be even too. Because we're not sharing tables. Once again, this goes back to self-care. That is what my table is. And I'm allowing a lady to come into my life and be part of my self-care. She's not getting my table. She has her own table. And she's allowing me to be a part of her self-care by spread opening her emotions and letting me put in the filler and having that fifth leg underneath to stand upon. So that way we can put our tables together and whatever we decide to compromise or settle on is what we're adding on top of that. But we're both emotionally stable. We're both financially, physically, mentally, and spiritually stable. We are tables even without each other. But we want to become bigger tables so we spread open those emotions. We share that intimacy. And she has to be responsible for her putting down and holding up that part in my table that I let her enter. And I will do the same for her. Because the last thing that you want is to be financially weak and somebody who's financially strong to dominate your table. Because as soon as they pull that table out and they're gone again, guess what? You're worse than where you were. Plus you added all that stuff on top of your table. That's not going to work for me. I'm looking for a woman who has her table straight, balanced. Her emotions are stable, and she has stuff on her table already. And she has the ability to open up those emotions in order for me to put that filler in. And then I'm willing to stand on that table. So let me know what you think about that self-care, y'all. It's me once again exposing who I am as a person and how I navigate through the world. And if you have any thoughts, concerns, or questions, you can reach me at the number one, MICDWIGHT. Once again, that's onemikedwight@gmail.com. And I will talk to you again. Happy Thanksgiving and happy holidays. I love you. Peace out. One mic.